een bring 'n aanmoediging. En so hy skep 'n beeld van 'n kerk wat almal het 'n rol om te speel. En is meer as net om pannekoeke te bak of koffie te maak, maar daar's 'n geestelike rol wat gespeel word, dat ons in mekaar se lewens kan inbou. En Jesus het predikers of ons het leraars, maar almal gee die Here voor gawes. So en dis hier was 'n paar mense wat kom deel het wat 'n gebed gehad het of 'n prentjie gehad het en ons wil daai half so gebruik dat dit tot 'n mate in eenheid daarom vorentoe beweeg en dit wat die Here met ons wil doen in vanmôre. Nou ek wil baie welkom terug sê, die mense wat die grootste smile het vanmôre is Burke en Anja, want hulle is twee weke terug getroud. Ons was bevoorreg om daar te wees en wat 'n beautiful trou was. So is ons regtig 'n blessing, ons jong mense wat so dit skep vir ons wat nou 'n bietjie langer getroud is, dit skep moed, want daar's werklik 'n godly huwelike wat plaasvind. En wanneer jy by so 'n geleentheid is om net te sien hoe die Here werk, is beautiful. Die generasie wat die Here oprig. Ek gaan nou vir Mike vorentoe nooi, maar ek wil net, Mike, ja, you can come so long. Jaron, excuse, ek sit jou nou so op die spot, en ek weet, dit is nou nie 'n algemene ding nie, maar ek wil net vir jou aanmoedig, terwyl ons aan bid het, het die Here vir my beeld net oor jou lewe gegee van 'n diep put, waar hy het mense water skep. En die ervaring wat ek het, is dat die Here werklik vir jou 'n gawe van aanmoediging gegee het, dat die manier hoe jy met mense praat, en ek weet ongeag of jy nou 'n extrovert of introvert, ek weet nou nie waar dit land nie, maar die woorde wat jy vir mense gee, moedig hulle aan om vorentoe te gaan, en dat jy nie dit moet gering ag nie, dat saam met mense, nê, daai saam met hulle inkom en hulle aanmoedig en dit wat jy voel die Here gee of dit waarvoor hulle bedoel is ontsettend belangrik in die koninkryk. So maak dit sin in jou hart so 'n bietjie. Okay. So Here, ons wil bid dat U vir Jaron gebruik om 'n voice of encouragement te wees. En dat daar ek bid selfs Here dat U hom in situasies sal sit waar mense werklik aanmoediging, versterking, perspektief nodig het, wat hy net kan inkom en kan werk in die koninkryk. En is iets wat jy soms wonder, Flip, waar pas ek in die koninkryk? Hoe moet ek my gawe uitleef? Daar het die Here vir jou gegee, en dat jy amper natuurlik, bonatuurlik dit kan doen. Seën vir jou, man. Amen. Right, so Mike is hierso, hy is... Daar's so 'n band, wat sê dit, BZN, band sonder naam, of Mike is amper man sonder kerk, maar hy, Mike was in Wellington, het daar gelei, het hy oorgegee aan Maurus, hy het hier vir 'n rukkie ook gelei, en ons het daar lekker saam gelei, en Mike word in ons 412 vennootskap, die partnership van gemeentes, word taamlik gebruik om net in te gaan, kerke te versterk, spesifiek in teaching, wat ook al die Here uitlig, maar vir hom en ID gebruik die Here om so te gaan, en dis daai Nuwe Testamentiese model, waar Silas en Timoteus gestuur word, Agrippa en Aquila, nie is Agrippa, dit Priscilla en Aquila, Agrippa en Aquila, hulle moes inwe, daai is nie 'n goeie ene nie, maar Priscilla en Aquila ingaan en ouens gaan versterk, gemeentes gaan versterk, en so dis hoe ons vir Mike en Heidi ontvang. Mike, enjoy this morning. Thanks for coming here. Lord, we want to pray for Mike. Just bless him. I ask, Lord, that wisdom will come forth from his mouth. Lord, wisdom that's from above, willing to yield, it's pure, it's gentle, it's unlike the world, Lord. Not after its own self, Lord, but it yields peaceable fruit of righteousness. So let it be, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Well, I'm not going to be preaching in the heavenly language, in Afrikaans. Ek gaan in Engels preek. You see, I said Afrikaans is the heavenly language, but thank you for having me this morning. Adi and I, it's always a delight to come back and visit this congregation. We've got many friends here. And it's good to see some old faces and young faces. But it's really wonderful just to be with you this morning and just to share the word with you today. So I'm going to jump straight in. And what I want to share with you this morning is I've entitled it, Where is Your Treasure? Where is Your Treasure? And I'd actually like to share around a topic around money and possessions. Money and possessions. And it's an area, you know, when we invite Jesus to be Lord of our lives, and we want him to come in for his lordship, for him to rule and reign in different parts of our lives, we often can speak about prayer or Bible reading or fellowship or how we use our time, but we don't often touch on the area of lordship, which deals with money. And Martin Luther once said that there are three conversions that every person needs. He said, you need the conversion of the heart, the conversion of the mind, and the conversion of the wallet. John Wesley said, the last part of a man to be converted is his wallet. And so we're touching on something that while it might seem like, but why, Mike, why are you speaking about money and possessions? While it might seem like something that's trivial or is that spiritual, we know actually, obviously, it's deeply spiritual the way that we handle these things and is a reflection of our walk with the Lord, of our discipleship with the Lord, and where he wants to speak, that he wants to touch in our lives. And what I want to do is I want to unpack a portion of scripture in Matthew 6, where Jesus speaks about money and possessions. And by the way, I'm doing this today, not that I want your money. We're not going to take up an offering at the end of the message. You know, there's none of that that's going to take place. Your giving is secret before the Lord. But it's not in terms of it's the heart behind some of these things and having a worldview that how we handle these things, do we handle it like the world? And in Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to look at a portion of scripture, Matthew 6, 19 to 24, where I want to unpack three points that deals with our treasures, our perspectives, and our masters. And what Jesus does is he speaks here about two treasures, two perspectives or visions, and two masters. And there's a choice that we have. And I know for me, as I've grown in the Lord, often I, if I'm honest, have handled my money and have handled what I have, my possessions, often more like the world, like an unsaved person, than someone who's a believer and a disciple of Jesus. And so these are things that I am also growing in. I have not arrived in these things. I'm also working out my salvation with fear and trembling in these areas, but let's jump in and have a look at and unpack the scripture together with me. Can we do that? Okay, fantastic. And so we're going to start with verse 19, and I want to speak about two treasures. That's my first point, two treasures. And in verse 19, what Jesus says here, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And now, if we look at the scripture, Jesus is making quite a radical statement. It's almost like it sounds like, I know when I've read this, often I've wondered and I've asked myself the question, but is Jesus against saving? Is Jesus against investing? Is Jesus against owning property? We'll look at that now. Is he against those things, or is he trying to, what is he trying to say here? And one thing that we must know is if we put ourselves in the shoes of the early listeners and those that would have heard Jesus in his context, we know that in that Jewish, Greek, Roman-speaking world or Roman world, that there would be treasures that people would have and hold. Treasure was important to people like us today. I know, for example, my mom, she loves her treasures in terms of the things that are sentimental to her, her furniture and heirlooms that are passed down, and you know, she wants to pass them to her kids, and they're important to her. There's investments that our family have, that's property, that's, you know, I'm from the Seychelles, as I've shared with you before, that little island in the Indian Ocean, and there's property in the family that's important to the family that they want to pass down. And in the ancient world, it was the same thing. People held on to money, onto goods, onto clothing. And often what they would do is in order to save those things or keep those things, they would sometimes take that money and bury it in the ground or bury it in the wall of their home to protect it from thieves. They would take clothing and they would try and store it away that was valuable clothing. If you were wealthy, you actually could go to a bank, and they had ancient banking systems that also you would give money to the banker, and they would give you interest. There was a system like that. But what Jesus is saying here is, I believe he's making a point saying that ultimately, whatever we have, the treasures that we have on earth, those things will devalue. Those things will disappear. They could get stolen. Like in the ancient world, you could lose certain of your treasures. And he's not saying that it's wrong to invest or wrong to save, because in the ancient world, for example, we often think, oh, you know, the early church. Ah, they had homes, and they sold their homes, and they sold their possessions, and they used it for the extension of the kingdom. Now, that is true. But if no one had any homes, where would they have met? Right? If no one had jobs or possessions, what would they have had to share with? And so we know that treasure, and we'll look at that now, we can have those things, but Jesus is making a point is, where is your investment? Where, in a sense, are you building towards? Are you only investing in this world, or are you investing in the next? And in a sense, he's saying, there's a bank, the first bank of heaven. And the first bank of heaven ultimately will contain treasures and the things that you do on the earth for him, that as you translate it into that bank account, that will never devalue. The rand today is devaluing. The first bank of heaven, whatever currency is in there, that will never devalue. That's what he's saying here. And he's making this radical contrast here. And so I want to just answer some questions. Is Jesus saying it's wrong to save or buy things that have possessions? And even Jesus had clothing. Even Jesus had a home that he was based in, if you read in Nazareth. But Warren Wiersbe says this. It says, it's not wrong to possess things, but it's wrong for things to possess us. So why also lay up treasure in heaven? Why does Jesus say, do not lay up treasure on earth, but I want you to lay up treasure in heaven? Why heaven? Why heaven? And it's a great question. In Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is in heaven. And from there, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And obviously, for us as believers, when we come into the kingdom of God, when Jesus becomes Lord, we know that we take up a second citizenship. Our citizenship is no longer here, but we have a higher citizenship. We have a residential address, which is in heaven, right? Our values change. My first constitution that I obey is no longer the constitution of South Africa. I have a higher constitution, the constitution of heaven. The Bible, for me, sets that, you know. For example, in South Africa, South Africa's constitution says it's fine to get divorced and to smoke marijuana. I think marijuana is illegal now in South Africa. But if I read the constitution of heaven, if I read the word of God, we know that marriage is sacred to the Lord. I'm held to a higher law. I'm held to a higher standard than what is on the earth. I'm held to something in heaven. And ultimately, why do we lay our treasures in heaven? Well, it says in Philippians 3:20, because from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus. And you see, in heaven is our Savior, is the most valuable being in the universe. And when we are working for him, so to speak, when we see him as the one that we will worship and serve and invest into his purposes, then that is why we invest into heaven. I'll give you an example. We have a domestic who worked for us for many years. Her name was Lisa. And Lisa was from Zimbabwe, and when she worked for us, what she would do, she worked for about 4 or 5 different families, and my goodness, she worked hard. She would come in early, she would work, and she was also very good at saving, and so she would take all her rand, and she would save it up in the month, and she would eat, but she wouldn't live well. She would live as simply as she could, so she could take her money and send it back to Zimbabwe. And so every month, she would take money and send it back to another country. Send it back, send it back. Why would she do that? Because she had a treasure in that country. Her heart was actually in that place. Her children were still living in Zimbabwe with her mother, and she needed to go and support them, and by working here, she could earn enough money to send it back there. And in the same way, that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying that we're living on the earth, but in a sense, our heart and our vision, our passion is in the person of Jesus and in the kingdom of God. And as we live for him here, in a sense, what we are doing is we're sending it back. We're sending it back into that first bank of heaven, so to speak. And the question really is, my friends, where is our treasure? Are we building for this world only? Or do we understand that we, in a sense, like I think it was John Wesley, he said, make as much money as you can. And then he said, save as much money as you can. And then he said, give as much money as you can. Why? Because if we stop at saving and investing in this world, but if we are giving for those, as you'll see, with an eternal perspective, we actually are storing for ourselves riches in heaven, because that's where we will be for all eternity in God's kingdom as we do so. And so where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Don't you love verse 21? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And in a sense, it's like, oh, my treasure is in Jesus. I don't just have to serve him, I get to serve him. I don't just have to obey him, I want to obey him, because in Christ, Colossians says, are the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That he's the most valuable being in the universe. His purposes are the highest purposes on earth. What else do I live for but his kingdom? Right, we have jobs, we're faithful in the, maybe you're studying here, maybe whatever it is that you are doing, or you're a stay-at-home mom, but ultimately we're living for a purpose, and as we do so, our treasure is in something far more. I know for me, often it's like, what do I think of when I wake up in the morning? You know, and I think that often is a telltale sign. Where does the way that my budget goes, where are the things that are important to me? And then Jesus carries on from two treasures and dealing with like the affections of our heart. And then he goes to the second point where he speaks about two perspectives. And interesting, in verse 22 and 23, he says, I'm just going to touch on this briefly. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great the darkness. And this is quite a tricky scripture. What does Jesus mean here? And I think in a very simple way for me, he's saying here that what you give yourself to seeing and gazing upon and aiming for, what your goal is, that will determine your spiritual health. That if your perspective is to live for an eternal kingdom, then actually that's how you'll flourish as a believer. And if you live that way, if your vision is Christ and to see God work through his church and to see churches planted, and that's why we're here for the Great Commission. There's something that our body will be full of light. And then it says, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if our aim is about gaining wealth and having good status, power, influence in this world only, oh, how terrible it will be. Because there's something deeply lacking. And that's what it's speaking about. Where is our vision? Where is our treasure? But then secondly, where is our perspective? What are we gazing on? What are we aiming for? What are we building towards? And actually, it's interesting. When it says your eye is bad, it can be a metaphor. Apparently in the ancient world, if they said, you have a bad eye, it was actually a metaphor for that person's stingy. So maybe Jesus is playing here with, like, you know, playing with words. Someone with a bad eye, someone who was known to be stingy, you know, tight-fisted. So that's two perspectives that he mentions. Then the third thing that I want to share with you is around two masters. Two masters. And in Matthew 6:24, let's read it. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and he will love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And I'm going to unpack this, the scripture, but I just want to start by using the example of what Jesus is saying here. He's saying that there are certain relationships that are exclusive, that you can't share them out with other things. You can't have two masters or two lords or two kings. You can only have one. And you know, I'll give you an example with my relationship. I have got two brothers. I've got an extra tweeling. I'm a twin, and my brother is the rich one in the family. He lives in the Seychelles, and he's the anyway, I'm also rich. Anyway, he's the good-looking one. He's got, I got the brains. He got the looks. No joke. no, I'm not sure. And I've got two brothers, and I also have, and I can, that relationship's not exclusive. I can love them both. I have three children. My oldest daughter is 25. She's now in California. She's overseas. Our middle daughter's now also overseas. She's in Bloemfontein. And then our son is now finishing matric. He just did his 40 days on Friday. I've got three children, and I know when we had our first child, for those of you that have got many kids, you know this, like Doa and Anamin and others, and Jacques, where's Jacques? He's also around. Yeah, you know, all got 15 children or whatever. How many kids have you got now? Five? Four? Okay, for the moment. Feels like five. And, you know, I know when I had my first child, for Adi and I, when Michaela, I was wondering, but surely this love is so exclusive. I cannot share this love with anyone else. How could we have another child? How could I love my second child like I love my first child? We were devoted to her. We were doting on her. We were affectionate towards her. In a sense, our world changed when she came along. And in the same way, but then our second daughter came and realized that the Lord gave us capacity to love her just as much. And then our son came along, and I wondered, how could I love a boy like I love the girls? And then I found that I could even be even more affectionate towards him than I was with the girls. And we have this thing, because that relationship, it's not meant to be exclusive with only one. And you know, but there are certain other relationships that are exclusive. I only have one wife. Some of you say, thank the Lord. I only have one wife. And that relationship, by nature of the relationship, is because of the kind of relationship. I cannot share my wife. It would break something of the what God has designed that relationship to be. I cannot share it. I cannot share her. She cannot share me. It is exclusive. And in the same way, is in the sense that the relationship that we have with Christ is absolutely exclusive. He demands everything. Now, while we can have other types of relationships and in the body of Christ, but I can only have one lover and one Lord. I can only have one master. I cannot live according to another agenda. And I think it shows that sometimes I know that there is a war on, my friends, in a sense, for our hearts. Because there's a war on for our affections to often pull our hearts, our affections, our desires into things that the center point is not Christ anymore, that the center point, what we live for, fundamentally becomes something else. And in this context, that he says, actually, and what he does is he gives money the same personal qualities as he does the Lord. As God is a master, he says, so money is a master. Now, we know that God is a good master. He's the master that you want. But there's another master, money, who will make a terrible master. And he says that there's this genuine competing, that if money and possessions and wealth in the worldly sense, if our relationship with this thing is out of balance, we have the wrong place in our lives, somehow it can become this Lord that begins to rule over us and actually draws our hearts away from the King. From the lover of our souls. And it's interesting that he personifies it. He uses the Aramaic word mammon. He actually uses the Greek word mammonas, but it comes from this Aramaic word mammon. And some say, mammon is actually the spirit of money. I'm not sure about that, but what he does do is he personifies it. He gives it like a sense of, he gives it human qualities. Because of this relationship that we have. And my friends, I do want to say, is I think the Lord this morning, when I felt to share this with us, because I think to make sure that that relationship is very clear. And I do want to say this, that money makes a terrible master, but as someone once said, it makes a wonderful servant. So I'm to use money. I'm to I'm to handle it every day. You know, we're not those who are, is it the Amish, who kind of withdraw from society. They don't believe in modern technology, the Luddites. They kind of get away and they don't drive cars and they don't use modern conveniences or modern bank accounts. They kind of ride their horse-drawn carts and they just want to withdraw from the world. No, we're in the world. We handle money. We have homes. We have possessions. We use those things. But Jesus here is warning us, saying, actually, is it possible that for us, for some, it can have such a hold on us that it becomes something that is not right? So the question that I'm sure you're asking, but how does money become a servant and not a master? How do we make sure that we can rule over it, but that it doesn't rule over us? And I want to give us one thing today, and I want to look at it one more scripture, is that money can be a wonderful servant when we learn to use it for His glory. Money becomes a servant when I say, money, you are not going to rule over me. I'm not going to be led by fear or anxiety or by the world system. I'm going to use it, but I'm going to learn to give you away. And every time we are able to take that thing which God has given, money can be a gift from God. And as we use this tool, we can use it to benefit the kingdom of God. We can send it on ahead. How do we do that? Well, I love the scripture in 1 Timothy 6, 18 to 19, where Paul's writing to the rich, actually. Now, for all of us, I think compared to world standards, we are all rich today. We are rich in many ways. But he says to the rich in verse 18, he says, they are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future. Interesting. So if you want to store up treasure, what treasure? Maybe Paul has in mind Jesus' command about lay up treasure in heaven, and he has this in mind where he says, how do you lay up treasure? By doing good, by being generous, by storing up what is, by giving what we have back to the Lord, by being generous with our time, with our homes. And something, you know, I've been so convicted of when I was a young Christian. I remember, I'm not speaking, the point of the message is not that, you know, about tithing. But I do want to share just a thing on tithing, because it's something for me that as a young Christian, I remember when I started to tithe, for me, I understood that all my money belongs to God. You know, if Christ is master, it's not just 10% or 5% or 20%. It's all His, right? Amen. You know, when Christ becomes Lord, it's in a sense that He comes to you and He says, you're mine, mine. I'm now redeeming you and taking you, and I'm saving every part of your life so that you can learn to live for my glory. And when you do that, that's when you'll flourish most as a human being. And He takes us and He says, mine. And He did that with me. And so I started to give a portion of my money away every month. And I remember thinking, Mike, you're so generous. You know, and I was tithing, and I'm not going to get into the principle of the tithe, but I remember started tithing. I was giving 10% of my income. I felt like I needed to do that before the Lord, and I was tithing. And over time, I realized that, you know, being thinking I'm so generous, that actually tithing is actually the floor of giving. It's actually, someone once said, the training wheels of giving. Like when you learn how to ride a bicycle, you put on training wheels, you know, you ride your little bicycle, and then you got the training wheels. That's what tithing is. And he said, actually, and he used examples. His name's Randy Alcorn. He's got this beautiful book out called Money, Possessions, and Eternity. And in it, he uses examples of men and women over the years whom God has used to give away 90% of their income, 80% of their income. In other words, they had such a vision of the kingdom of God. They understood that they were living not just for this world, but for the next. That they orientated their resources, their wealth around God's purposes. And what they did is they funneled that through. Some of them obviously had the means to do that. Some of us, and it's not about, you have to work that out for yourself. But I remember as I was thinking this, and what helped me was an illustration with realizing that, you know, the tithe is the floor of giving. It's like going to the library. And if I go to the library and I've taken out books from the library and I keep it for a month, and then I take it back to the library Now, wouldn't it be strange if I went to the librarian and said to the librarian, you know, take the five books I have, and some of you are like, what's a library? Yeah. Die Bibliothek, but in die Dorpes, okay? Those things, you know, we have the library card, you know? And anyway, we still use it from time to time. And so we have the books, and I give it, and I go to the counter, and the lady's at the counter, and then I give her my books, and I say to her, you know, I am feeling so generous today. Oh, I just want to say to you that I woke up feeling like I need to give you these books. And I just want to say that, you know, you're welcome. You don't even have to say thank you. How would that librarian, what would she say to me? She would look at me and like, are you crazy? What have you been smoking? Right? And she would open the book and say, can't you see that inside of this book there is a stamp and it says, this book belongs to the library. You're simply giving back what is mine. And that's kind of the heart of what Jesus is saying to us here, that the resources from heaven, it all belongs to God. And yes, we give a portion back into the local church where we looked after and fed. We need resources for the nations. We're in a stage where, you know, our churches are growing. We want to do church plants, and there are workers in the harvest needed for the harvest. We need God to release resources more and more into the kingdom. But we need people to be kingdom-minded, building something beyond themselves. And so, yeah, I want to encourage you in that money is called to be our servant and not our master, and wealth. And I want to end with this. Practically, I don't always know what that looks like for you. You'd have to work that out before the Lord. But maybe go away and go and ponder upon this word this morning. And go and ask the Lord, say, Lord, what is my relationship with money and possessions and what is it like? Father, am I holding it loosely? Am I known as a generous man or a generous woman? Am I willing to build my life around your purposes? Or actually, is church merely an attachment onto my life? Or Father, who's Lord? Who's Master? I want to end with the story. There was a young Norwegian by the name of Peter Torgensen. And he became quite a famous missionary and church planter into the East. And when he was 17 years old, he was in a church service. And in the church service, they were speaking about the kingdom of God and, you know, going into the ends of the earth for the kingdom, and how we are called to make disciples of all nations, and you know, and there was this wonderful vision of what we are called to be as believers. And in that place, he wrote that his heart was so stirred with the things of God, that when it came time for the offering basket to go around, he just gave everything that he had. And so he took out his wallet as a 17-year-old. And what he did was he just poured out all of the money that he had into the offering basket. And I think he had been tithing faithfully, but he just gave. But it wasn't much. He was 17. But before the Lord, it meant something. And he was like, oh, Lord, I want to be used by you. And so what he did was he took a piece of paper, and on the piece of paper, he wrote in Norwegian, Og mitt liv, and he put that in the offering basket. And the word Og mitt liv means, and my life. That I'm not just giving my tithe or giving my money, I'm giving my life. Because the call of the kingdom is so great and so worthy and so valuable and so demanding that we have to say, but and my life, Lord. This is what Jesus is saying, that there's a master and there's a treasure and there's a vision and a goal that we have that is so much more than this world only. And it is so compelling that it demands our very lives. And my life. And so in closing, my friends, I want to leave that with us today, that Jesus is saying, in the same way that, like Paul said, in view of the mercy of God at the end of Romans 11, in view of his indescribable wisdom, his unsearchable riches, in view of that, it says, and I will come and I offer up my life as a living sacrifice.
in view of what God is and who He is. And so I'd like to pray for us as we close, that we could come and just give ourselves again to the Lord. And my life, Lord. And that includes all my possessions, my money, my wealth. It's yours, Lord. Use it for your purposes in the extension of your kingdom. So come, let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Father. Love you this morning. Love you this morning, Lord. Oh, Lord, we want to say we love you, that your love is better than life. Lord, that he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. We want to thank you this morning that you are not some kind of attachment onto our lives. You are the very center of who we are. We want to acknowledge this morning that you're our Master. You're our Lord. You're our God. We want to thank you this morning that you've put your stamp upon us, saying, mine. That you have redeemed us by your blood. That you have purchased us, not with perishable things like silver and gold, but with the imperishable blood of the Lamb. Lord, we want to thank you this morning that you've put the seed of the Word of God. You've brought life into us of faith to be born again and to follow you. Thank you, Lord, that we exist for you and your purposes. Father, I want to pray this morning that if there are any here, Lord, that maybe have lost sight of that, that maybe are so busy investing in this world only, that they've forgotten to lay up treasure in heaven and what that looks like. Father, would you come and adjust our hearts, our priorities? Would you adjust our vision, our perspective? And that if that is you this morning, just before the Lord, just say, Lord, help me. I think that maybe there's an unhealthy attachment that these things have. Just bring it to the Lord right now. Say, Lord, I just want to repent. I want to ask you, Lord, I want to ask you to help me live this way, as Jesus would say. Maybe if you know this morning that maybe your heart is in other places, your dreams and your affections ultimately are not found in Him, just bring it to Him and say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Father, I ask you to come and renew my heart. Show me the treasure. Show me the treasure above all treasures. Thank you, Lord. And just if there is anyone here, just with every head bowed, and you're here today and you know that you're not right with God, if you're here and you know that you're not yet serving or following the Lord. Maybe you're like a prodigal son or daughter and you've run away from the Lord. And today you're here and you know that God has your number and you know that He's calling you to serve Him. If that's you, I want you where you are just to put your hand up and say, Mike, that's me. Maybe you need to come back to God and you want to recommit your life to the Lord. Or you need to come and give your life to Jesus Christ. Is anyone here this morning that has not made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life? Anyone like that? You know, you can come as you are, right? You don't have to change. Bring your sin. That's all we have to give to God is our sin. And He exchanges it with His righteousness, with a new start. Is anyone like that this morning? Okay. Then for the rest of us, let's all stand together. And let's just, I'm going to hand back over to Ruan.
I think one practical way, and this is specifically for those in the church, Mike touched on that, the generosity. Sometimes you feel that you have something to give, but where do you give? And I want to encourage you in your community, those around you, to be on the lookout. Sometimes God gives you a feeling to go to somebody, and you can go to somebody and say, hey, there's something I can help you with. We've now preached specifically in the area of material possessions or so, but it can be a service, it can be a form of aid where we live generously. That early church, it says that they had all things in common. We've got a few single moms here. We've got a few people here that's in between jobs. Or yeah, and if you've got that extra portion, just be on the lookout. God wants to use. And just come alongside somebody. Say, anything that I can help you with. It's not always a prayer that makes that difference. It's sometimes just a brother or a sister that comes alongside you in the time of need and moves you forward. And so that's a practical thing that you can do in your communities. Community leaders, maybe you know more of this situation. Just encourage somebody towards that. And
just while you're standing as well, just on that, just another thing that I felt just to share with you on, you know, giving, and even as it's giving into being mindful of the needs around us and saying, God, how can I bless? How can I give? Another way is just with evangelism. I want to just share a quick story with you. I wasn't going to. I was like, And I just want to share it as an example of something that happened to me recently. You can sit down for a minute, and then we'll stand again. Sorry. And is that okay? Okay. I was about 3 weeks ago. We are moving to Cape Town, end of the year. And so I'm trying to sell off some things, and I'm selling some goods on Facebook Marketplace. And I have got this very expensive Apple Pencil. It's like this piece of tech that works with my iPad, and I never really use it. I bought it in America for like this deal. And I got it in May when I was there, and I paid like a really good price for it, probably 4 times less than I would have bought it here. But I wasn't using it as much, so I thought, I'm going to sell it and make some money. I'm going to make as much as I can, as John Wesley said, you know. So I put it on Facebook Marketplace. There was a guy down the coast, just about an hour away, that said, no, he wants to buy it. And he was persistently messaging me, like, please, this is a good deal. Because for him, it was a really good deal. For me, it was a really good deal as well. And so it was like a win-win. And so I was ministering down towards Somerset West 3 weeks ago. We had this mini gathering. And I took it with me, and I was going to meet him afterwards at this mall. And so I took it with me and went down, had the service. And during the morning, I felt like the Lord said to me, Mike, you need to give it away. Now, I'm losing my reward in heaven for this one because I'm sharing it with you. But I do want to, maybe it's to provoke something. So I'm not trying to, anyway. So I felt like the Lord said, Mike, you actually need to give it away. You need to give it to him. And I was like, okay, I've never done that before in Facebook Marketplace. But you need to give it to him and you need to witness to him. So I was like, okay. I was quite nervous. So after church, drove through to the place to meet him. He was sitting in this fancy coffee shop with his big fancy iPad. And then, you know, we had a chat and we were just talking about what we did and what he did and et cetera. Lovely guy in his 30s. And he tried out the pencil. Like, I love it. I'll buy it right now. And then I said, no. I felt the Lord say to me, I need to give it to you. And I need to say to you that Jesus loves you. And that salvation is a free gift, as I'm giving you this as a free gift. And you cannot reject it, because this would offend me now. I have to give it to you, you know? Because it's weird, like, who's like Facebook? Now you're giving something away and you've arranged. I don't want to offend the guy. I was like, I have to give it to you. But I have to say to you that salvation, if you receive it by faith in Jesus, this is what salvation is like, and I'm giving you the pencil. So I felt to share and witness with him, and he suddenly started tearing up. He's got very emotional. And he was like, you know, I've been going through such a hard time the last couple of years. And I've been struggling just in myself. And he's got health issues. And it's just, I mean, and he just said he's in a really dark place. So I was like, okay, well. And then we got talking and I asked him, well, how do you feel about spiritual things? Because that's a nice general, if you want to witness to someone, you know, is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Let me be a little bit more generic and see what comes out. How do you feel about spiritual things? And maybe you can do that sometimes if you want to be that straight, fine. But anyway, I felt to do that. And he said to me, no, I'm an atheist. What? No, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. And then he said, but I used to be a Christian. And I said, well, can I share a bit of my story with you of why I'm a Christian, why I'm a follower of Jesus? And I got to share a little bit of my story with him. And he listened, and he kind of, you could see, he's obviously, where's that, I don't know. But we kind of chatted a bit, and I had to go. I had to get back home. And he was like, can I buy you lunch? I'll buy you coffee. Let's talk, you know. So we chatted about it, gave him my number. But I had to go. And as I left, he's like, hey, can I give you a hug, man? But it was such a wonderful opportunity that I was able to use something that actually was, I really wanted the money and I wanted to sell it. But actually, I was able to use a possession, a little thing that I knew that I was actually investing into the bank of heaven. Not that I did it for that. I did it because I felt the Lord tell me to do that. Because ultimately, it can be used for Him. And just, you know, let's look for opportunities. Let's trust God, maybe in creative ways, that someone's heart may be open to you in a very unexpected way with the way we use finances. Sometimes, you know, Jesus said, we can actually make friends with worldly wealth, one of the parables. And we can use money to actually advance the kingdom, to open people's hearts into the gospel. And so let's trust for that as we go forward. And so, yeah. So I'm going to hand over back to Ruan as we do so.
Yeah, let's pray. Okay. Do you see the thread from the worship time? The Lord had us praying for friends, praying for colleagues, then come here with a side way of speaking about money and possessions, but it's actually still in the same thread, and we end off with the evangelistic. And I think that's what the Lord's got on His heart, eh? So let's trust God. We all have something. And you might feel, oh, I don't know how to share Jesus. You have something that can be a bridge to share Jesus. So may you be blessed this week. May you experience that face shining over you of God, waar hy jou geniet, waar hy die warrior and the dancer around you is, and that you feel the backing of God as you advance the kingdom. Amen. You're welcome to join us for some coffee and a little bit of fellowship. If you need to grab the kids and go home, have a great week, and we see you in the week. Next weekend, Sunday, Wellington Stadsaal. All right. Bless you.